How many of you actually read shareholder letters? Be honest. Two of you? Three, maybe? Well, they could actually tell you a lot about a company, and especially its CEO and how its CEO is thinking. My next guest has been studying shareholder letters for a very long time, like since the 80s. Lawrence Cunningham is here to talk about his book, Dear Shareholder, The Best Executive Letters from Warren Buffett, Prem Watsa, and Other Great CEOs. He joins us now from East Hampton, New York. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me on.
How are you at a cocktail party? Are people like, oh, God, here comes Lawrence. He's going to start in again about Berkshire Hathaway. Come on, tell me, are you entertaining? Are you at least able to pull out some bon mots from these letters?
You know, on the first Saturday in May, they love it. When we're all in Omaha at those parties, people love it. The other parties, we have to talk about other things.
Yeah, not so much. What got you into reading these letters in the first place? It's quite a niche.
Yeah, well, I was practicing corporate law, and I ran into Berkshire. We represented him in a transaction. And in that context, I started reading some of that. Part of my job was to read the letters, and they just blew me away. They were they spoke to me. They're, you know, a little contrary, a little bit against the grain. But I've found it made a lot of sense. And then when I went into teaching, I thought, these are great teaching tools. So I turned them into a book and have been teaching them ever since.
Warren Buffett, of course, but also Prem Watsa, the Canadian CEO of Fairfax Financial. Tell us a bit about his letters. What are they like? What can people learn from his thinking in those letters?
Well, one thing that jumps out at you is that Prem would be great at a cocktail party. The letters are funny. They teach lessons in a very amusing way. They're also very modest. Prem hardly ever boasts about the good things that have happened at Fairfax. He focuses on the challenges, the setbacks, the difficulties that he's trying to solve, and you come away with an appreciation for the business. You really understand how he thinks about allocating capital, how he thinks about pricing insurance, you know, he also, I think, reflects a real devotion to his the people he cares about, which are the shareholders and the employees and customers. And so it's a treat to read Prem's letters. I think you can learn a lot, and you don't even know you're learning. It's because it almost reads like a novel, like a good book.
What do you notice about these CEOs' political views or views on social issues or climate change? Do they keep that out of these letters, or do they reference it only when it is material?
In the letters, it's mostly out. And I think in their public lives, they've mostly kept it out. I think most of these CEOs recognize that getting involved in the political buzzsaw is not good for their companies.
It's never helpful.
I mean, their job is to run their company, to keep their troops happy and on message and on strategy. And you know, Warren got caught in the political buzzsaw 15 or so years ago. They ran a charitable contribution program where the shareholders got to allocate corporate philanthropy to the causes of their choice. And some of the holders had contributed a lot to Planned Parenthood. And then the pro-life opponents of that boycotted Berkshire subsidiary products at the Pampered Chef in particular. And so even that effort just to transfer money to causes backfired. And so they terminated that program. And I think Warren learned it's just, you can't get involved in that. These places are huge. Warren has 400,000 employees. No doubt they're of all different stripes. And so it wouldn't do him any good to voice his opinions. He has opinions, but he tries to focus on the business and stay out of politics.
You organize the letters in three buckets: classic, vintage, and contemporary. What is the number one change you have noticed over time? How would a contemporary letter differ from the earliest days in classic?
Most of the contemporary letters have a sharper focus on the particular business that the writer is running. And they don't range across or roam across broader questions of macroeconomics or national economic situations or general questions of policy, let's say about accounting or taxation. You know, Warren was unique and pretty famous for ranging pretty widely across the landscape. And Prem followed that tradition pretty well, and so did the folks at Leucadia National. Now, I'd say that the tendency is for these contemporary writers, they tend to focus much more on what they're doing at their company, what their troops are seeing, the problems that they're facing, and how they're trying to solve them.
You have focused on the real gems in your book. I can imagine you come across a lot that are written by investor relation bots, you know, like paid hacks or flacks to say virtually nothing. How common is it for you to find letters that really are compelling? Is it 5% of the time? Is it 10% of the time?
Yeah, it's that's a good question. It's closer to 5. And some people have actually tried to measure it that way. That, those are sort of the estimates that come up. You're right. A lot of this genre is ghostwritten by the communications department. Some of it is very patronizing or condescending, and it's hard to write. It's very hard to write this. So I'm not condemning most, you know, the CEOs of the world. It's a very hard task. You have to spend months on it, really, at the end of the year when you've got the press of other business on your mind. And so it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to get it right. But I think the payoff is that the ones who really do it well convey a sense of their company, their personality, their business culture that is extremely useful to shareholders. And so it's a worthy effort. I mean, I don't recommend that every investor out there try to scour your 6,000 letters, but consulting books like this or other research that does the work and then picks out the gems can be a very useful exercise for an investor.
There has been a real move over the last, I don't know, 2 decades to focus on quarterly performance, quarter by quarter by quarter, and to almost park the long-term vision for these big companies aside. Do you think there is a role for the shareholder letter in guiding and in a long-term buy and hold investment decision?
Yeah, absolutely. The book came about out of my research on the holding periods of investors and their level of concentration. Shareholders today are either extremely impatient, transients who have holding periods of less than a year very often, or fully diversified, indexers who don't focus on any company. And neither of those cohorts would care about a shareholder letter. The transients are fixated on the quarter. The indexers don't really care about the quarter or the year. It's that middle cohort, the focused, patient investors, Warren Buffett called the quality shareholders, for whom these letters are useful and to whom these CEOs write the letters. And so the 18 people who wrote letters in this book avoid quarterly forecasts and quarterly earnings calls. They focus on not on earnings or on quarters, but on return on invested capital over many, many years. And they explain that in the letters. And that's one of the refreshing things that I think most serious investors out there will appreciate in these letters. They get the long-term view that makes sense for investors who are prepared to hold and to load up on particular companies rather than indexing.
Fascinating stuff. Lawrence, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thank you, Bruce.
Lawrence Cunningham is the author of a book called Dear Shareholder, The Best Executive Letters from Warren Buffett, Prem Watsa, and Other Great CEOs. He joined us from East Hampton, New York.